the songing. That was Psalm 119 forever. This is just an interim. I'm trying to get settled on what to teach on in 2021. But I love Psalm 119. It's one of my favorite passages. Now, we left off at verse 44, where he says, "So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever." Now, it sounds to me like the psalmist, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, loved God's law, His rules, His precepts, His word, His statutes, His principles. Whatever adjective, whatever you want to describe God's law as, he wanted to abide in them continually, consistently. He doesn't sound like somebody who was an antinomian, who didn't want God's rule in his life. When you're saved by the grace of God, you want God's rule. And it's all because you're under His grace. He changes you. And His desire was to keep, cherish, love, abide in God's law consistently. What a great goal to have. To every day want to follow the life of Jesus Christ, who fulfilled all the law. You realize that there's no way you could be saved if it was up to you to keep the whole law. You're born a sinner, and you continue in that until the day you die, because of the sinful nature you're born with. And the law, if you're unsaved, all it does is pronounce you guilty on every count. But when you are saved, and the condemnation of the law is taken away, you have a whole new relationship with God the Father, who gave the law, and now it's your desire to love what God has recorded for our good. And the psalmist, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is saying, I want to walk in, abide in, and keep these commandments continually. I don't want one day of idolatry in my life. I don't want to take the name of the Lord's, the name of the Lord in vain. I don't want to profane the Lord's day. I don't want to dishonor my mother and my father. I don't want to lie. I don't want to steal. I don't want to bear false witness. I don't want to kill and murder anybody. I don't want to live a life of covetousness. What's wrong with any of that? We ought to love these principles. Now, I don't want to do any of those things. What do I want to do? I want to love Jesus Christ and devote myself entirely to Him, to His work. He bought me with a price. I want to obey the commandments that He has given, to love the brethren, to preach the gospel to every creature, to stand for what is right and true and holy. See, I don't want to just not do some things. I want to do things for the glory of God. Now, I've said all that to set up the next verse. Verse 45. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. We are most free to walk in the glory of God's grace when we are most holy. You see, knowing God's truth and applying it to our daily lives is what brings genuine liberty to the child of God. That is what real freedom in the Christian life is all about. The freedom to do what's right, to live for the Lord, to obey His commandments, His truth, to love Him supremely, to set our affections on things above where Christ sitteth at the right hand of the Father. That's when we are most free and liberated, when we're walking in God's ways. I've heard people say, and they despise the narrow way of the Christian profession. They say, well, you're just too strict. You're too rigid. You're a legalist. You're this, you're that. I'm not a legalist. A legalist believes you're saved by keeping the law. That was the Judaism that was spreading in the early churches. The book of Galatians was written to condemn the idea that you could be saved by the works of the law. I don't know anybody that's truly saved that believes that nonsense. But if you're saved, you ought to want to live for the Lord. Your life should display a radical, revolutionary, powerful change. Your heart has been turned from idols to serve the living and true God. Now, those who charge us with trying to follow the Lord, they do err, not knowing the Scripture, neither the power of God. The Lord Jesus said this in John 8, verse 31 and verse 32, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Liberation through Christ, through His life, through His Word. That's where freedom is. Turn over to Romans chapter 6. I believe most people misinterpret what Christian liberty is. Most people, I fear, think that Christian liberty is basically doing whatever, justifying and doing whatever you want because your sins are forgiven. But I want to show you how much this liberty has been given to a child of God as opposed to the bondage you once were in. Verse 17. But God be thanked, Romans 6:17, that ye were, the past tense, your life, ye were the servants of sin. You walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's how you once walked. You were a servant of sin. You were a slave of sin and degradation and opposition to God. But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. God gave you a new heart in the new birth, which gave you the ability to obey the truth of the gospel. He gave you the gifts of repentance and faith, and you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, the teaching that Jesus Christ died for our sins on that tree of cursing, that He put our sins away, that He offered Himself, His life, His blood as a perfect sacrifice. That doctrine which says that He was buried and that He rose again from the dead. And that message, the gospel, the teaching, how that Christ died, was buried, and rose again according to the Scriptures. That truth that you obeyed concerning Christ for you not only justified you from all things, but that message, that truth, liberated you from a life of degradation and sin to one of joy, of liberty, of freedom for the first time in your life to bring forth fruit unto God, to live in a manner that's pleasing to God. That's what real freedom is all about. Now look what he says. Being then made free from sin, free from sin's condemnation, ye became the servants, the slaves of righteousness. So that's complete. That's not an anomaly. What do they call it? I don't know. Paradox. How can we be slaves of righteousness? Servants of righteousness? I believe it is the freedom to do righteousness. He calls us a servant or a slave of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, that's the way you once were, even so now. Now that you've believed this form of doctrine, even so now, yield your members servants to righteousness, unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. You could not live right when you were in bondage to sin. You did not live right according to God's standard. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Now that's real Christian liberty. Freedom for the first time in my life, 40 years ago, to be freed and liberated from the condemnation of the law and the guilt of my sin, to walk with God, to walk in the Spirit, to have a heart so changed that I love the Lord now. That I want to please Him more than myself. And that's freedom. Because everything God sets forth in His Word and says, this is the way, walk ye in it, it's the way of peace and joy and happiness and freedom And I think it's why David started off Psalm 119, you know, talking about his love for God's law and his precepts. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. You see, there is no bondage to the saint of God who is seeking the precepts of God and desiring to walk in His truth. Bondage comes through sin. All you got to do, this make a practical application of this. You know when you're doing wrong. Does that make you free? Does that set you free before the Lord? Does it make you feel liberated? No. It makes you feel guilty because you got an old nature and yet the Holy Spirit dwells in you, and if you are doing wrong, it troubles you. And there's a sense of bondage and foreboding because you're convicted of sin. But the times you're most free is when you're walking in harmony with the Lord. When the life of Christ becomes your true model, your true goal, and you're desiring to walk in His ways. You see, bondage comes through sin. It's our sins that chain us. The life of liberty is a life that's set apart for God. Spurgeon said, saints find no bondage in sanctity. The spirit of holiness is a free spirit. He sets men at liberty and enables them to resist every effort to bring them under subjection. The way of holiness is not a track for slaves, but the king's highway is for free men who are joyfully journeying from the Egypt of bondage to the Canaan of rest. May God help us to see the truth of this. I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. Because that's liberty, freedom, happiness, joy. That all comes through God and His Word and following the Lord. That's when you'll be most happy. And may God give us grace to really seek this kind of liberty and freedom as we serve the Lord. We're dismissed.